Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, as we have been learning, the Torah teaches us Leisachsoim Shor B'dishoy, the one is not allowed to muzzle an animal. Says the Gemara, Itmar Chosma B'kol, if somebody didn't do a direct chasima, rather he did it by voice. And the simple way of understanding the Gemara is that as the animal was working in the field, every time the animal was about to put down its head to eat, this person yelled, preventing the animal from working. Or another way that the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that the animal was muzzled, and this person screamed, yelled, and it caused the animal to walk, and as the animal walked, the animal did the disha, worked in the field, which involved a malacha, which involved doing malacha in the field in a muzzled state. Or venhigo b'kol, as we learned at the end of the previous year, the Torah says that there's an issa klayim, one is not allowed to lead two different species of animals together. Here we have two species together. He didn't actually do anything other than yell at them, and as he yelled at them, they walked together. So what is the din? Is he over the lav or not? We have a machloika, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Machayev, Rabbi Yochanan says it is considered an act, he was over the lav, b'shlokish Amar Potter. Rish Lakish says he's Potter. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbi Yochanan Machayev, because Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Akimas Svasov, Akimas Piv Havamaisa, walking, is considered an act. Rish Lakish Amar Potter, because Rish Lakish is of the opinion that that is not Rish Lakish Amar Potter, Kololo Havamaisa. And as Tysus and the Rishonim point out, even though this is Tosfos' approach to this Gemara, even though throughout Shas the rule is that a lav she'ein by ma'isa ain't like an alav, that if there's a lav that one didn't do an act in, he doesn't get malchus. And actually, as Tosfos points out, the man de Omer that says that opinion is actually Reb Yochanan. Here, it's not a regular situation of lav she'ein by ma'isa. Why, explains Tysus, because even though we're starting with a situation where the person only spoke or yelled, his speaking, his talking causes that there should be an act done. And the Gemara is now of the opinion, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, says Tysus, that if my talking causes an action, that is not considered a lav shem b'maisa. Rish Lakish obviously disagrees. Rish Lakish's opinion is that we look at what happened here, and since I didn't do an actual act, it was only talking, so it's in the category of a lav shei b'maisa. That's how Tosfos explains the Gemara. And in fact, the Mefarshim, in supporting Tosfos' pshat, explain, now we can understand why the Gemara follows the following approach. First the Gemara says each opinion, and then the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't the Gemara right away, when it said Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, explain the basis for Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Because we're trying to show, say to Mefarshim, that this is not a regular situation of a lav shem b'maisa, where normally Rabbi Yochanan would hold that a lav shem b'maisa you don't get malchus. Here he will hold that for this lav shem b'maisa you do get malchus. That is the approach of Tosfos. However, other Rishonim have, the Chinuch has a different approach to the Gemara. He says that indeed Rabbi Yochanan holds that alav she'ein b'maisa ain't loiken alav. However, he explains the machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish as follows. Why is there a halacha that alav she'ein b'maisa ain't loiken alav? The answer is because it's a different class, it's a different category of lav. And therefore, If it's a lav that could be done with a maisa, and it could also be done without a maisa. In other words, you could do chasima, you can muzzle. The normal way is by doing it with an act. Our Gemara came up with a situation where you didn't do an act. So Rabbi Yochanan says, since this is a lav that can be done with an act, even though perhaps in this specific situation he didn't do with an act, it doesn't fall into the category of a lav shema maisa, and that's why you'll get malchus. Rish Lakish's opinion is, on the other hand, that we don't look at a class, we look at the actual situation. And if in this situation there was no maisa involved, so it's in the category of a lav shema by maisa. Actually, I saw that the Chassidish Sfarim used this concept that Rabbi Yochanan teaches us, that Akima Svasov have a maisa, in two different concepts. One is regarding Karbonis. We know that unfortunately now we don't have a base of Migdash, and therefore we can't bring Karbonis. However, says the Shlach HaKadosh, that by us saying and learning the Parshas HaKarbonis, it's considered as if we actually brought the Karbonis. And in fact, the Shlach says, that's why we can understand the Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. The Pasuk says, Vayikra Hashem Moshe, Me'ayah Mayid, V'yedaba Hashem Moshe. So the Mepharshim will ask, first the Pasuk says Vayikra, and then the Pasuk says V'yedaber. Isn't this a redundancy? Says the Shlo, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra Hashem Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mayayah Mayid. And he says, perhaps, Baruch Hashem, we are living, Shter HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, in a time where there is going to be, where you can actually bring the Karbonis. However, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, there will be a time that the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, will be destroyed. I say to you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedaba Hashem HaMoshe, you can be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Karbonis, when the Mishkan, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, through the actual bringing of the carbon, and when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, you can be Mekayim it, Lamer, just by Akima Sfasov, saying and learning the Parshas HaKarbonis. And the Ma'ar V'Shemesh says that the Gemara says, who are the people that were worthy to receive the Torah? Those that eat the man. So the question is, that was in that generation that they, Baruch Hashem, had the man. We don't live in a time of a man. So how are we zoicha to the Torah? So he says that the Pasuk says, and there are many people that say the Parshas Haman every day, and this Pasuk is in the Parshas Haman. So he says the word should not be pronounced dvar, it should be pronounced dovar. How could a person be zoicha to mon? And as we just said, through being zoicha to mon, we're also zoicha le Torah, for lo nitn Torah el loich le haman dvar dovar, by speaking words of Torah, by speaking the words of tefillah, yoyim b'yoymai, every single day, we are zoicha to the man, we are zoicha to the bracha panasa, and from the zoicha bracha panasa, we're also zoicha to the bracha of Torah and mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara, Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, ask Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that how could you say that Akima Svasov loy have a maisa? We know the Torah says that if somebody designates a carbon, so the Torah says, and the animal is a healthy animal, lo yachlifenu, says the Torah, v'lo yomar esai, a person should not substitute that animal for another animal. V'hoya If he does, the original animal remains kaidish, and the substitute animal becomes kaidish. Says the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Tmura, not that one has a right to do Tmura, El Shem Heima Mumar. If he does it, it's effective, the Seifik as Aboim, and he gets Malkus. Mefarshim ask, why does he only get one set of Malkus? Should have gotten two sets of Malkus. And in fact, there are some Rishonim that suggest that he indeed does get two sets of Malkus. Others say that Lo Yachlifenu V'Lo Yomer Asoy speak to two different situations. Lo Yachlifenu is by a carbon that belongs to someone else. The behemoth belongs to someone else. Lo Yomer Asoy is by an animal that he owns. And therefore, you can't get both Malkus because it's referring to two different situations. Others say that it's really only one lav, and that's why there's only one Malkus. But the question coming back here is that he only did the Aveira through speaking, and yet we see, asks Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that he gets Malkus. Amalei responds Rish Lakish, Hamani, who's the Tan of that Mishnah? That Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Dama, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is always the lav she'en by Maisa loikin alof. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, can we explain that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? V'ktani Reisha, let's learn the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts, Hakam Amirim, anyone can do the Aveir of Tamura, Echra Noshim, Vechra Noshim. And the Gemara there, Masechta Tamura, tries to understand Hako Lasuyamai. What is the word Hako coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, Lasuya Yairish, the like Rabbi Yehuda. That the Mishnah is teaching us that if someone designated an animal as a carbon, and then Rachmanu Litzlani passed away, his Yairish, who yashens the carbon, could do the Aveira of Tamura. Not like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara, Hama Yairish, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a Yairish ain't a Mamer, cannot do the Aveira of Tamura. The Yairish doesn't do smicha. Again, if somebody's father designated an animal as a carbon, we know when somebody brings a carbon, he has to do smicha. If he dies, and his Yairish brings the carbon in his place, the Yairish doesn't do smicha. So that Mishnah that teaches us that the Yairish is able to do tamura, clearly doesn't follow the opinion of Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, it still can follow the opinion of Yehuda. Because Hai Tana Savla Kreva Sebechada, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding Lav Shem and Maitza, that Loikin Alav, or Palagala Bechada, but he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says a Yairish isn't over for Tamura, he says a Yairish is over for Tamura. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, the Brisa says, Hachaisim Sapara, somebody does the Lav Chasima, the Dashbani, he works with the animal as it is muzzled. Loika, he gets Malkus, or Meshalim, and he has to pay back, Dalek Kabin Lepara, Vigimel Kabin Chamor. He has to pay four calves if it was a cow, and three calves if it was a donkey. And as the Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Achronim point out, it's difficult to explain, they say, that the right, that the din, that one may not muzzle an animal when he's working with it, gives the animal some sort of a monetary right that it's considered as if he stole from the animal when he takes the animal. So how can we say here that you have to pay this money back if you did this? So the two approaches that I saw. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains that it's considered a situation of a knas, that Chazal gave a knas to a person who did this because he shouldn't have muzzled the animal, and because he muzzled the animal, Chazal gave him a knas. That's how the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz explains. The Stipler has somewhat of a different explanation. The Stipler's explanation is that a person who does this, says the Stipler, is considered like when I work with my animal in the field, or I expect to work my animal in my field, I know that I'm going to have to feed the animal. I know it's going to cost me money to feed that feed. And now, by not having allowed the animal to eat, so I've essentially stolen from the animal. I've essentially stolen because I've kept what I shouldn't have kept. And that's why, says the stipler, he has to pay back. The Rishonim also point out that in such a situation where somebody did this, we have to look at the animal, we have to look at the amount of hours he worked on the field, we have to look at the value of, we have to look at all of these factors in and when determining how much he has to pay. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, we know throughout Shas, asked the Gemara, that the Aloch is Kimle b'drabimene. Mishum risha achas at the mechayvoy, v'yat the mechayvoy v'shtei rishuyas. We don't give a person two punishments for the same aveira. So how do we have here a situation that the person will get both malchus and have to pay? Answers the Gemara, Amrabaya, Harmani, Rameihi. This Brisa represents the opinion of Rameya, who holds loika mishalim, that indeed the din is that you do have to pay a mishalim. Even though the Rishonim ask, the where does Rameya say the din of loika mishalim? He says regarding Ein Edom Zoymimin, where the person did two different averas. One is the avera of Loisana, that he said false testimony, and the other avera is that he the chiyuv of malchus in that case is because of Loisana, that he lied, he said a false testimony, and the chiyuv of tashlumim comes from the iser of kashas omam. So even Rameyer asked the Rishonim that holds that you can be loike mishalim, that's when you were over two separate averis, but here he was over one avera. So some Rishonim say that that's not true, and that's not Pshat Rameya. Rather, Rameya holds that it makes no difference if the two punishments come from one Avera, or the two punishments come from the same Avera, from different Averas, that Loch is Loike Mishalim. That's one Pshat I saw in the Rishonim. Another Pshat I saw in the Rishonim, that here too, the two punishments come from two different Averas. The Chiv Malchus comes from the Avera of Loisachsim. The Chiv Tashlumim, going back to what we spoke about a moment ago, goes because he cheated the animal. He stole. It was a Geneva. He took money that he's not entitled to because that food that the animal was supposed to eat should have gone to the animal, not to him. So here too we have a situation of like a Mishalim coming from two different Averas. That's the first teretz, a bias teretz. Rav Amma, Rav says a different teretz. He says, Esnan osu taira. The taira says, an Esnan is osu vafil ba'al imai. The taira says, Lasavi Esnan zayna mechir kalev beis Hashem lekecham. If somebody pays a zayna, rachmona letzlon, pays a zayna with an animal, that animal cannot be brought as a carbon. And the din, says Rav, is if someone had such a type of a relation with his mother, which there is a chiv misa for, still, the halach is that the animal that he gives his mother in payment cannot be used as a carbon. Aye, there's a chiv misa here. There's a chiv misa for having that relation. We see that there is a concept of misa v'tashlumen. And as the Rishonim explain, because it goes to the heart, say the Rishonim, of what Kimle b'drabimnei teaches us. The Rishonim explain that Kimle b'drabimnei doesn't say that there's only a chiv misa, there's only a chiv malchus, there is no chiv tashlumim. That's not what Kimle b'drabimnei says. Rather, what does Kimle b'drabimnei say? Kimle b'drabimnei says we could only administer one punishment, but certainly because we're administering the chiv malchus doesn't take away the reality that there is a chiv tashlumim. Because we're giving this person who had relations with his mother, Rachmana Litzlan, Misa, doesn't take away the reality that the animal that he gave her becomes an Esnan. And therefore, in this case also, Ramey is going to say that even though we legally can't force him to pay for muzzling the animal, he certainly does have a basic chiyuv tashlumim for having muzzled the animal. That's how the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Rashi goes on to say, based on this explanation, that even in a situation of kimlei b'drabmenei, where we say ein aloikum mishalim, but the chiyuv tashlumim is really there, therefore says Rashi, itofis, let's say somebody is supposed to get payment, and the only reason he's not getting payment because kimlei b'drabmenei is being applied, itofas loy mafkinimenei, we don't take it away from the person. Of course, the Nesiva says that even though Rashi says that if somebody sees the money that he would have gotten if not for kimlei b'drabmenei, he keeps it, says the Nesiva, it's not to say that one shall chatchila do that. Once we've established that there's a din of kimlei b'drabmenei, the victim, as unfortunate as he is, has to follow l'chatchila the rule of kimlei b'drabmenei. We're only saying, says the Nesivus, that if he seized it, he's allowed to keep it. And in fact, there's a machloikis hachroinim how to apply Rashi's concept. Actually, a three-way machloikis I saw. Some achroinim suggest that Rashi's concept that whenever Bezdin can't enforce a chiv tashlumim, Rashi's teaching us Bezdin can't enforce it. But still the halacha will be itofis loy mafkinimine. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that we can't apply this concept of itofis loy mafkinimine to all situations. We only apply it to the situation of kimlei b'drabimine. That's where Rashi is mechadish that since the chiv tashlumim, as Al-Gemara just explained, really exist, therefore, he toughest loy mafkinimine. And a third opinion is the opinion of the Marshal, who says we only apply by kimlei b'drabmenei, but he goes a step further. He says that the concept of kimlei b'drabmenei is applied very broadly. What do I mean? Even if the actual chiv misa is not given, let's say it was a shagig, let's say it's b'zman hazeh, where we don't give misa, we still apply the concept of kimlei b'drabmenei. Says the Chacham Shloima, where does Rashi say itofas loy mafkinimenei? Where we actually didn't give the bigger einish. We didn't give the misa. We didn't give the malchus. That's where Rashi says itofas loy mafkinimenei. But if we actually did give the misa, did give the malchus, even Rashi would agree that we don't say itofas loy mafkinimenei. And Rabbi Chanan explains this distinction that the Marshal, the Tzais discusses this distinction also. He explains why. He says because there are two ways of understanding kimlei b'drabmenei. One way of understanding kimlei b'drabmenei is that the smaller punishment is included in the larger punishment. Another way of understanding kimlei b'drabmenei is that there's a din, that there's a veira, that there's a larger punishment, you're absolved from the smaller punishment. So he says that's the nafkamina. If we actually gave the bigger punishment, so then the smaller punishment is already included, and therefore there is absolutely no chayiv. If, on the other hand, it wasn't actually administered, it's only a din of kimlei b'drabmenei, then halacha would be itofas loy mafkinimenei. Rav Papa gives a third explanation why it could be like a mishalim. Because to apply the concept of kimlei b'drabmenei, we could only apply it if both einshim come simultaneously. But if the two einshim come at different time, then we don't say kimlei b'drabmenei. And says Rav Papa, that's exactly the situation here. Mishas mishicha, as soon as the person takes the animal, the chayiv lemezonoseh, the chiv mezonos comes, the milk lucky, however, the chiv malchus comes later only at shas chesima when he actually muzzles the animal. And therefore, since the two punishments don't come at the same time, we don't say kimlei b'drabmenei. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa Hani Mili Baimene the Rei Papa Bar Abba. The following questions were asked to me in the yeshiva of Rapapa Bar Abba, or Pashta Leila Sura, and both questions that I were asked, I said that the halacha is L'chumra. However, says Rapapa, Chada Kelchasa, in one situation I paskin correctly, for Chada Lav Kelchasa, in the other situation I didn't paskin correctly. And the Rapapa explains, Barmine, I was asked, Ma Lolo Shas Isa B'cholof, could someone add milk to the dough that he's baking bread? Can he make dairy bread? Or pashta le lasura? And I said that it's also to make dairy bread, kilchasa, which is actually the din. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, ain loshin as is b'cholov. We're not allowed to add dairy ingredients to dough, vimlosh, and if one does so, kala pas kala sura, one may not eat that dough. Neher galaveir. Since bread is considered the most basic food item, and it's eaten with dairy meals and with meat meals, Chazal said, don't make dairy bread, she shouldn't come to eat it with a meat meal. And similarly, says the Braisa, Ki yoytze ba ein toshin esatana ba'alya, one can't smear, can't grease the oven in which he bakes bread with animal fat. Vim tosh, kolapas kula sura, if one did put this grease into that oven, any bread baked in that oven is now fleshig bread and it's usur, achiyasa katana, until he makes the oven hot, he kashes the oven. Taisa says, why is it required to kasha the oven this way? Here we have a situation of a nat by nat, a noisen tam by noisen tam. The tam goes from the bread to the oven, and then from the oven it goes back into the next food, and therefore it should be considered a nat by nat. So Taisa says that two pshatim. One is, he says, indeed, maybe you don't have to go through such a difficult kashering. Another pshat that he says is, since we're dealing with something that's greasy, so fat, therefore, the only way to get that liya out is through an actual kashering. Here we learn the halacha, that one is not allowed to make a dairy bread. And in fact, the Shaul Shetshuva Semach Tzedek says that this halacha doesn't only apply to bread, but any food or drink which is used both in dairy and meat meals should not be made dairy. And that's why, for example, according to Tzemach Tzedek, one shouldn't make a dairy drink, a dairy soda, let's say, because we have a problem that it's going to be used both by meat and dairy meals. The Mepaiskim also go on to explain that Chasam Sofer says this in a tshuva, and it's very relevant, l'aloch l'maisa. When the Gemara says here that one is not allowed to make dairy bread, says the Chasam Sofer, it's not to be viewed as an issa gavra, that I'm not allowed to eat dairy bread. But rather, explains the Chasam Sofer, dairy bread is an issa cheftza. Dairy bread is asr. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, for example, a question that I once had, let's say there are times that you are allowed to have bread with dairy. The best example, one of the best examples, would be French toast, which is not eaten as a bread, it's eaten as a meal, and it's one slice of bread. You can add milk when you make French toast. So let's say somebody's baking bread, and his intent is ultimately to use that bread to make French toast with it. That's the purpose of this baked bread. Are you allowed to add dairy already to the dough? So the answer is no, because the Gemara is teaching us the dairy dough is issa cheftza, it's asr. And again, it's also relevant to another question that the Paiskim discuss. Nowadays, with the bread we bake, we get in packages. So we'll label the package that it's dairy, and therefore maybe it should be mutter. The answer is that wouldn't help, because the actual baking and kneading, as our Gemara just said, of dairy dough is asr, and you can't make it mutter afterwards by putting a label on it that it's dairy. Although the halacha is, the Gemara says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, that if you make bread kishar, like axe, then it's mutter. And there are two pshat in what that means. One pshat is that if the bread has a distinct shape, So therefore, it's noticeable that it's not regular bread, and their dairy bread is permissible. Another pshat is that if it's a small bread, like a muffin, that's eaten in one meal, so there's no concern that you're going to leave over from your dairy meal to the meat meal, there you would be allowed to make a dairy muffin. V'idach, continues Rav Papa saying, idach b'aminoy, the other question that was asked of me was, ma'alahachnas min v'she'en min aladir. Could you take two different species of animals into the same stable? And I said that it was Osir, but says Rav Papa, the Lav Kelchasa, I was incorrect. Dom Shmuel, Shmuel says, ubamina afim, somebody who has a relationship, an illegal relationship, how do Adam say testimony that such took place? If they see him laying together. As the machlokes, why? At that point, it's already considered a valid edus that they saw the Aveira. Some say, because it's highly unlikely that any witness would actually see penetration. And therefore, if the Torah speaks about at such great length, Arias, there must have been a way that the Torah meant that it'll happen, that the Edom will see it happen. Another pshat is that the Torah, the Chazal, recognize human nature. And if they see this man and woman together in this fashion, it's quite certain that they did an Aveira. However, or Beklayim, one is not chayiv for mating different species, until he actually causes penetration. It says in the Braisa, Ilu Nemer, says the Braisa, had the Torah said behem tchaloi sabia, hayisi ayim lo yechus ad mehema b'sha'ala le'azachar. I would say that a person is not chayiv, is not allowed to hold the female when the animal goes on her. Tamaloi meklayim teaches us the Torah the word klayim, that only the mating of different types of animals is asur. But it seems that if it's different types of animals, lav, mechlal, doesn't it seem to be teaching us the klayim is achizah namiloy, not actual penetration is asur, but just causing it that they should be together is already asur, not like what he said before, the achyach kamach v'shferis. Answers the Gemara, what he meant was my achizah, what does achizah always mean? Hachnosa. So why is it called achiza? For my karla achiza, lishnam alya, the Torah wanted to use a more, less explicit language. Arav Yehuda, min b'minay, two types of animals of the same species, so there's no iser for them to meet, mate. Mutal hachz kamach b'shveres, a person could cause the actual penetration. Fafil mishim pritzusaleka, one would think that this should be usur because it could come to person should have improper thoughts. Teaches us Rabbi Yehuda that it's mutter. My tama, because the person who's causing this act to happen, bavidite tarid, he's busy, he's obviously a zookeeper or a veterinarian, and that's what he's busy with, and therefore he doesn't think about any hira or avera, and that's why it's mutter. Moser Rav Chdumi Bar Abaya asked on this Rav Chdumi Bar Ami, says in the Braisa, Ilu Nehme Behem Techolai Sarbiya. Had the Torah only said Behem Techolai Sarbiya, Hayisi Oyim Elo Yechas Adam as the Behem Kedei Shiyal Ola Azachar. A person is not allowed to hold the female down in order the male should mate her. Tamaloi Meklayim. So from here we see, Klayim Udasa, that only by different species it's Asar. Habimin B'minai Shari, but the same species, there is no Issaklayim. However, not even by the same species where there is no Issaklayim, or min b'minai achizain, only achizah's mutter, but achnasa, causing penetration, is loy, it's asur. So how could Yehuda say that it's mutter? Answers the Gemara, as we said before. My achiza, what does the Braisa mean with achiza? Hachnosa. For my karle achiza, why is it called achiza? Again, lishnam alya, the Torah didn't want to speak in explicit language. Amravashi. Hamil sabamine debay Reb Nechemi Reish Gusa. The following question was asked in Reb Nechemi Reish Gusa. Rabala hachnes min mina vishen min odir. Could somebody take two of the same species and a different kind of animal into the same stable, into the same pen. Do we say, kiven de ikaminoi basim minigar, that since it has the same, since you have two animals of the same kind, we don't have to be worried that it's going to mate with an animal of a different kind? Idoma, afila hachiloi, it should not be permitted. Upashtal ilasura, and Rav Ashi said, I said that it's asur, however, that is not exactly what the halacha says. The halacha says that if you have animals of the same species, it's mutter. And the only reason I was machmer was mishim pritzusai the avde. I was concerned that these slaves would take this step further and would also mate different species without the same species being there, which is awesome. Or other Rishonim say that there's, that if the different species were there, the Avadim, who weren't scrupulous and following the halacha, would actually mate the different species together, which is awesome. And I saw a beautiful vart from the Emek Dover based on this Gemara. He says that Rashi in Parshas Bereishis says regarding the pasuk says regarding the Nachash, for Nachash har orum mikol chayas asada, says Rashi that the Nachash, the snake, saw Adam and Chava having relations, and that's when he got jealous, and ultimately we know the Aveira that the Nachash caused to with Chava to, that we still suffer until this very day from this Aveira. Ask the Emek Dover, obviously in the Gan Eden, where the Nachash was, there were also male and female Nachashim. And our Gemara just taught us, says the Emek Dover, that when you have two animals, one of the same species and one of a different species, we don't have to be concerned that it's going to want to mate with the other one. Because as we just said, the nature is that it's going to want to mate with its own type. So why did the Nachash ask the Emek Dover have a Yetzirah, have a Taiva? For the woman, he had his own type there. And if you have your own type, there's nothing to worry about. Says the Emek Dover, a beautiful vart. He says, what the Nachash was jealous between of the husband and wife wasn't the fact that they were having relations. Because the Nachash also has a mate with whom he could have relations. What the Nachash was jealous of, says the Emek Dover, was the special relationship, not just the physical relationship, that exists between a husband and a wife, that animals don't have. Animals only have a physical relationship. And that special relationship that exists between a husband and a wife is what the Nachash was jealous of. Says the Mishnah, if the worker was working only with his hands, but now with his feet, with his feet and now with his hands, or even if he's working with his shoulders alone, and all these situations, the halacha is that he's allowed to eat. As we've been learning, a worker is entitled to eat from what he picks from the field. He has to work with his hands and feet, then and only then is he entitled to eat from what he's picking from the field. My Tama, ask the Gemara, what's the reason for the Tanakama that you don't have to have everything? Says the Gemara, Kisava Bekerim Rayecha. Become my David. Any type of entering, as Tosafot Yontif explains, by the Torah using the words kisavoy, just by entering, that is already considered that you're allowed to eat from what you're working in the field. Rabbi Yosef Yehudaima, Achiyas B'yod V'raglav. Says the Gemara, my Tam the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Kishar. Because the Torah, we learned so many times this week, the Torah compares Chaisim L'Nechsam, the human to the animal. Mashar, just like the Torah by using the word shar, means to teach us a shar works with its Yodav Raglov, Achiyasa B'Yodav Raglov. That's how the Shor does Disha. Afpoil is only allowed to eat Achiyasa B'Yodav Raglov. Ask the Gemara. Boy Rav Barafuna, Dosh Bavozim V'Tana Goylim. If somebody working with birds, with geese, with chickens, Rav Yosef Yehuda Mahu, what would be the halacha? And Tosfos has two ways of explaining the Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara is that birds don't have Yodayim V'Raglayim. And since they don't have Yodayim V'Raglayim, perhaps the entire din of Leisachtzim Shor B'Dishoy doesn't apply to them. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding the Gemara is that perhaps that there will be no din, that you're not allowed to muzzle the birds unless the animal not only uses its feet but also uses its knafayim, its wings. And the Gemara says, maybe the point of what the Torah is using the shor is to say that it uses all of its facilities, and here too it's using, the bird is using all of its facilities, and therefore the din should be the din of loisachsoim ought to apply. The Torah is being specific that you have to have yodav v'ragla being on, and that you don't have, as we just explained, by a bird, and there's no din of loisachsoim. And the Gemara says teiku. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Poyalim, workers, actually hilchu shesi v'eriv v'gas, until they walk through the length and the breadth of the wine press, oichlem anovim, they could only eat grapes, v'ein shosim yayin. However, they can't drink wine. And as Rashi explains, until they walk back and forth in the wine press, it's not obvious that they're working with wine. It looks like they're only working with grapes. And as we're going to learn from the Mishnah, that if you're doing melacha with one type of food, you can't eat another type of food. Interestingly, the Trumas Adeshin says, from here we see that wine and grapes are considered two different minim. And that's why if you're working with grapes, you can't use the wine, or vice versa. Says the Trumas Adeshin, based on this, we know that when somebody eats a new fruit or somebody has new wine, he has to make a shechiyonu. Says the Trumas Adeshin, based on this Gemara, that the shechiyonu for grapes is not going to be effective for wine, and vice versa, the shechiyonu for wine won't be effective for grapes, because our Gemara clearly is teaching us that wine and grapes are considered two separate minim. And therefore, again, says the Gemara, Payalim Shloihochu Shesiv Eri Vegas, the workers haven't walked through the wine press, Oich Manom, they're only allowed to eat the grapes, Vein Shoshim Yayin, they can't drink wine, it's considered that they're already working with wine too. Says the Mishnah, if somebody is working with figs in the field, he's not allowed to eat grapes. And as the Rishonim explained, even though his job, his contract entails that he's going to have to work both with figs and grapes, as long as he's not actually working with the grapes, he's not allowed to eat the grapes. And vice versa, panovim lo yoichel teinim. Ava meneis atzmai, a person can hold himself back from eating what he's entitled to eat, atzma megiel lemakom yafois, until he comes to the best place, and the place where he has the best fruit, noichel. And of course the Rishonim say, if the person prefers to eat the inferior fruit, it's his choice. Furthermore, when is the worker allowed to eat? When he's actually working. Chazal were concerned about the owners, the employers, and they wanted that while the worker is working, he should concentrate on working. That's why Chazal said, they can eat when they walk from one row to the next row. It's better that they should eat at that time versus when they're actually working on the roads, when they walk back from the wine press, they could take some grapes with them, even though they're not entitled really to eat. It just gives them the tuna to eat then and not eat when they're working. And as the Rishonim point out, Chazal didn't and can't revoke the right to eat while they're working. They just wanted to create a situation where they're less likely to eat when they're working. Ubechamar, and a donkey can eat kishipirakis when she unloads. The Gemara will explain what this means. Iboilu, ask the Gemara, Oysa begefen zeh, if somebody's working with one grapevine, ma shiach begefen acher, can he eat from a different grapevine? Do we say, mimin shat nois lekel shabal bayis pinon, that as long as you're working with this type of fruit, you're allowed to eat from it, vahika, and that exists in this situation? Oidilma, it's not enough that it should be the same min. It has to be actually it has to be exactly from this row for haleka. Vim tim tzulayman, if one will say ois begefen zeh, if you're working with one vine lo yoich begefen acher, so the question asked the Gemara is shavim chuba hechi ochel, and as Rashi explains, the animal always stands in front. The animal is schlepping a wagon. The wagon is lined up next to the tree, and the animal is in front of the tree. And as we have been saying, the din of the animal and the din of the person is the same. And if the halach is you can only eat from what you're actually working with, the animal isn't next to what it's actually working with, so how will there ever be a din of leisachsim shar b'dishai? Amar Rav Sheshi, Breid Rav Idi, that the animal will eat in a case, b'sharcha, where it's a long vine, so it's the same vine that's being worked on that he's eating from. Toshma, says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, hayos v'teinim l'yoich b'anovim. So what does our Mishnah seem to be saying? Hateinim v'anteinim, dum yateinim v'anovim. It's only if you're working with the figs, you can't eat the grapes. But if you're working where you have different figs, that would be allowed to be eaten. Vi amrit, if we're going to say ois begefen zeh en oich begefen echer, heichem shkachslo, what is the case that our Mishnah is referring to? Amr Shesh Brei Dervidi is referring to a situation of madlis where it's hanging, one is hanging over the other, and that's why you could eat from both. But we don't have a raya ois begefen zeh, what will be with another gefen? Toshma, we learned in our Mishnah, Av Menei Etzatzma, one can refrain from eating, Ach Megillah Mokma Yofas Feichel. Vi Amrit Oysa Begefen Zeh, Oycha Begefen Acher, Neis V'Neis V'Nechel. Why do I have to wait till I get there? I could eat immediately. Answers the Gemara, truthfully, you could eat immediately. The reason you have to wait to get there is a different concern. Hasam Shom Bitta Malacha Lekam Baila. There is an issue that if you're going to working in a row and you'll be allowed to walk away to get grapes, then we have, you're cheating your boss. Kikam Bailon, our question is, well, that isn't a factor. Where you have Ishta Banov, that they'll do the collecting of the other grapes on your behalf. My, what is the din? Toshma, another raya from our Mishnah. V'loy kuloy amr el b'shas malacha. Rightfully, they should only eat while they're working. Avo, as we explained in the Mishnah, nehoshav avedel balam amru, because we wanted that the workers should concentrate on the work. Payalim oichem b'chilchos me'umen la'umen b'chizrosim enagas. Savrua. So the people who were learning the Mishnah, the Gemara assumed that mehalach kaisa ma'asadamim, that walking between jobs is like doing the actual job, because he's actually actively working. And what does our Mishnah say? Still, it's only Mishum Hoshiv Aved Labalim Hudachal. That only because of the special din of Chazal is he allowed to eat. However, Midaraisa, Loyachal. Alma, Ois Begefen Zeh, and Ois Begefen Echer. Because if Halacha would be that you're allowed to, we don't need a special din to Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, it's not a riot. But I'll say walking between the jobs is not considered like you're actually working. The time you spend going between jobs is not considered that you're doing the job. But if it were considered like you're doing the job, it would be a different din altogether. Ikadamri, the other way of understanding the Gemara is that that when you're walking between the rows, it's not considered that you're working. Behind the time, and that is the reason that midaraisa you ought not to be allowed to eat, because it's lav kaisa masadami, it's not a time of working. However, hum isamasa, if the halacha would be that mahalik is isamasa, then he would be allowed to eat even with the raisa. Alma ois begefen ze, oich begefen acher. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya, because loyalam emelach ois begefen ze, ena oich begefen acher. He can't eat from another thing. Or mahalach, but walking between jobs is considered like he's actually working, and that's why, really, he can't eat from the other grapes, because oich begefen ze, ena oich begefen acher, and he needs a special din de rabbanan. And we learned in the Mishnah, b'chamor, in the case of a donkey, she could eat when she parakas. She parakas, asked the Gemara, meichen achla, where does she eat from? Rashi explains, a donkey typically wraps its entire load at one time, and it goes on. So from what is it going to eat from? Since it's already unloaded, so it's beyond her reach. Ema, achete parakas. An animal could eat as long, the donkey could eat until she finishes unloading what she's carrying. Says the Gemara Tanina Lahad Tanar Rabbanan. Our Mishnah is teaching us something that we learned in the Braisa. Chagmar v'gomel oichel masa shagameim. A donkey, a camel could eat from the load on top of them. And as the reason why would I think differently, because it doesn't actually see when it's in its back, says Tosfos. Maybe I would think it should not be allowed to eat it. However, Vlad, a person shlayita b'yad v'yachilim can't actually feed the donkey or the camel, and there's two reasons. One is because if you're going to feed it, you may end up giving it more than it's supposed to eat, or that the din of the Torah that gives the animal a right to eat is only what the animal can reach by itself, not what it needs somebody else to feed her.